Come on in. God's been good to you. Go ahead, give a little clap. I know there's a few of us in the room. We can let everybody know at home. God's been good. God's been good. If God's been good to you and you're watching us this morning or sometime during the week, go ahead and put a little emoji praise in the comment section. How many of you guys enjoyed this week? They added a new emoji. It says care, and it has a little smiley face, and he's holding the heart. I was like, that's a really cool new emoji. So anyway, if you're on Facebook Live, go ahead and shoot a little cares towards us and let us know that God has been good. Amen? All right. I know, that was silent. That was silent. There's people in the room with me, though. And I'm so glad that you guys are here, that you're watching with us. If it's your first time, we just want to say welcome to you. We don't believe that it's an accident that you chose to watch with us, whether it be Sunday morning or sometime during the week. I mean, we have been praying for you, and we are so glad that you are here. We want Focus Church to be a place that you can call home and that you can find family. We're going to continue our series this morning called Jesus, Not Fake News. Last week, we had an awesome opportunity to hear that and declare that Jesus is a healer and his healings are not fake news. Jesus not only healed in the New Testament, but he invites us to pray prayers of faith so that we can also see people be healed. And so we want to be a praying church. I remember Don's story last week. He said, I was struggling. I had ailments. I had tumors. I had bones that needed to be replaced in my body. And he had a praying church. Well, you better believe Focus Church is a praying church. And if you need healing, let us know. We would love to pray with you. This week, opportunity is for us to declare that Jesus is not fake news. Jesus is a deliverer. And just as Pastor Ryan introduced us this morning, he believes we believe that if you're bound up, if there's anything that you're struggling with, if you're struggling with self-worth, if there's fear that has gripped your heart, if you feel paralyzed by the things of this world and the chaos that is all around you, we believe that Jesus wants to set you free. If you came looking for hope or for peace, for focus in your life, I want to tell you there's good news. Today, at the end of the message, you will have an opportunity to respond to the hope that is found in Jesus. Today, we're going to look at the Bible. We're going to look at Luke chapter 4, verses 16 through 21. And so if you have your Bible app on your phone, or maybe you have a Bible nearby, go ahead and open it up. We're going to look here, Luke chapter 4, verse 16 through 21 this morning. I'll be looking and reading through the New Living Translation. So let's look to the Lord this morning and read Luke 4, 16 through 21. It says this, when he came to the village of Nazareth, his boyhood home, he went as usual to the synagogue on the Sabbath and stood up to read scripture. Here's just a little note. If you find yourself thinking that gathering together as a church isn't important, Jesus did it too. Jesus participated in church regularly. But let's continue reading. Verse 17 says, the scroll of Isaiah the prophet was handed to him, and he unrolled the scroll and found the place where this was written. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim the captives will be released, that the blind will see, that the oppressed will be set free, and that the time of the Lord's favor has come. He rolled up the scroll and handed it back to the attendant and sat down. All the eyes of the synagogue looked at him intently. Then they began to speak to them. The scripture you have just heard has been fulfilled this very day. Let's pray this morning. Jesus, we thank you for your words this morning that bring us life and increase our faith. God, I pray today not only will our faith increase to believe you, but Lord, I pray that there would be freedom that we can have in you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. mission statements, they're important. They are meant to guide our decision, to guide what we do. They describe who you are. And Jesus comes out and stands among the church, among the synagogue, and he declares his intent, his purposes, his mission. It reminds me of another famous mission statement. You guys may know it. It says, my name is Inigo Montoya. You killed my father. Prepare to die. If you're unfamiliar, this is a line from The Princess Bride, one of the most hilarious movies I love to enjoy every once in a while. But in The Princess Bride, young Inigo Montoya, he witnessed his father being killed by a master swordsman, and he determined his whole life to become a master swordsman and to avenge his father's death. And there's a scene towards the end of the movie where he meets his foe, and they're in a dining room, and he's getting actually beat up, and he's losing the fight, and he begins to chant to himself, "My name is Inigo Montoya. You killed my father. Prepare to die." And each time he chants this, he gets stronger and stronger until he defeats his foe. In the same way, Jesus here is declaring his mission, his purpose. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me," Jesus says, "and he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim that the captives will be released, that the blind will see, that the oppressed will be set free, and that the time of the Lord's favor has come." Man, if you lack peace this morning, if you're swallowed by fear, if hopelessness or depression or struggling, if you're struggling with thoughts of death this morning, there is good news. Jesus has come to set the oppressed free. Jesus stated his mission a little bit differently in John chapter 10, verse 10. He says this, "The thief's purpose is to steal and to kill and destroy, but my purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life." Jesus didn't come just so that we could have this perfect perfection, hope of a future in heaven, with a long waiting ahead of us. No, he came not only to secure our future with him in heaven, but so that right now, the life that we can live is full of life. Other translations will say he had come to give us abundant life. This morning, it's not just about giving us a rich life, meaning monetary blessings and overflowing of the goodness of God and seeing finances flow our way. No, the life and the abundant life, the rich, satisfying life that Jesus came to give us is a life that is full of peace, that is full of joy. And again, I just want to encourage you, if you are not experiencing this at this moment, if you're struggling in any way in your thought process, in depression, if fear has gripped you, Jesus wants to bring you freedom. This is not the life that he meant for you to live. But there is an enemy of our soul. Can anybody agree with me on that one? Jesus makes it clear, and throughout the story of the Bible, we see this to be true. The enemy wants nothing more to destroy our life, to hold us back from what Jesus died to give us. But the battle can often be, and it starts in our minds. The trap can be physical, and without a doubt, we have seen Jesus, as he declared that he would set the captives free. He also set people free from their prisons. We heard stories from our church, Focus Church, that of people that have been in jail cells, and God has delivered them from physical prisons. But often our prison is the lies that we have chosen to believe. See, this is the enemy's MO, his mode of operation. He speaks lies. And he's been doing this from the very beginning of time. When he saw Adam and Eve in the garden, and they had everything that they could ever imagine. They walked with God. There was perfect peace. They had every one of their physical needs were being met by God on a regular basis.
God looked at them and he said, you are good. And at that moment, the enemy comes in and he tricks them. He lies to them. He lies to Eve and says that God was withholding from them what was really good. If they just ate of the fruit, they would be able to have the knowledge of good and evil. Then they would become good. They would be satisfied. He hasn't learned a new trick. The enemy, according to John chapter 8, verse 44, Jesus says this about him. He says, he has always hated truth because there is no truth in him. When he lies, it is consistent with his character, for he is a liar and a father of lies. See, the enemy would want to convince you this morning. He would want to convince me this morning that there is no hope, that there is no peace, that everything is out of control and God has even lost control. But this morning, the opportunity and the invitation to us is to believe the truth, because the truth of who Jesus is, it sets us free. John 8:32, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Jesus is the truth this morning. My prayer is, as we talk about deliverance this morning, that faith would arise within you to believe whose you are and whose you are. See, because we belong to Jesus. And because we belong to Jesus, there is no thing, there is no way, there is nothing that the enemy can do that can take us away from him. There's many common lies that the enemy likes to feed us. And right now, while I'm socially distanced from all of my friends and all of my norms of life, I can tell you that there's plenty of lies that the enemy tries to convince me that I'm alone, that this will never end, that I'm going to get sick. And all these things, they cause fear. They put a trap around me. They cause me to be oppressed by these lies. And sometimes, if I'm really honest, I catch myself believing the lies of the enemy. But we have a choice who we're going to listen to. There's many voices speaking to us during this time, have spoken to us during our lives. The voice of the enemy, maybe even the voice of our parents that have spoken curses over us. Maybe the media and all the different things that they're speaking of, entertainment, the things that we're listening to and we're watching and we're reading. Getting on social media right now, there's full of voices that are speaking against the peace and the hope of God, is speaking against the truth. There's experts, or maybe you're even into mommy blogs, and you got a mommy blog that's telling you about all the different ways that you should be in fear right now. Everyone is speaking. There's always voices that we can hear, but there is one voice that is speaking the truth. It's Jesus' voice that is never changing, that never speaks lies. And Jesus promises that those who belong to him know his voice. I want us to take a moment. We're going to listen to three stories this morning of individuals from Focus Church that had found themselves trapped by lies and begin to believe the truth of who God is. Let's take a listen this morning.
Hi, I'm Mary Trabelsi from Madison West, and I certainly have been delivered. This is my story. My family had a history of mental illness, depression, and other demonic influence. And though I was born again when I was 22 years old and baptized in the Spirit at the time, I suffered for years and years with depression and had several delusional episodes, both before I was married and through the difficult years of my marriage. I knew that this was not the will of God for my life. I cried out to Jesus. I confessed the word of God, particularly 2 Timothy 1:7, God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of sound mind. Through prayers for deliverance, prayers of healing, inner healing, Bible studies, Christian counseling, some secular counseling, some medication for the depression, I can happily say today that I am totally free. I have a sound mind. Thank you. Be blessed.
Hello, so I am Rachel, and I just wanted to share a story about inner healing and being delivered from depression and anxiety. So in our first 6 years of marriage, I was battling with depression and anxiety. We found out in our first year that I wasn't able to get pregnant, and it spiraled me into depression. And it wasn't until we went to Purdue University to work with Chi Alpha on the college campus, which is a Christian organization, and we had a pastor that was helping us and believed in inner healing. So I went to counseling and found out that I was believing all sorts of lies about Jesus, and I needed to work on my relationship with him in my heart and in my mind. And one of the lies I was believing was that he didn't care about me, and I was worth nothing because I couldn't give my husband children. And I can tell you today that that is a lie from the pit of hell, and it's not true. And I do have value, and I am worthy because of what Jesus did on the cross for me. And because I worked on replacing those lies that I was believing and replacing them with the truth, I am set free from depression.
When I was 16, the enemy really tried to come after me and take my life, and it just began several years of torment and depression. And I had sought freedom and prayer, and for whatever reason, God hadn't delivered me yet. But when I was 19, I went to a church I felt like I was supposed to move to that city to be a part of, and a guy sat across from me, and he looked at me and said, "This is the week you're going to be set free. This is the week everything changes." And I kind of brushed it off. Like, I had kind of given up hope at that point that I would ever be set free. But later that week, the pastor's wife came up to me during worship, and I was up there worshiping, and she tapped on my shoulder. She said something. I don't remember what it was now, but it was clear God had sent her and told her that I had some stuff that I needed to be set free from. And it became so clear what I had to do. I just had to speak out the lies that I had been carrying around with me, which were two lies: that I was a daughter of darkness and that I was crazy because of all the things the enemy had been doing and tormenting me with. And once I spoke those lies out, everything changed, and I started sobbing. And she took me into a different room for some privacy, and we prayed through some things, and it was like this giant weight lifted, and I saw that thing walk out the door, and I was free. And it was amazing. And God set me free, and he can set you free also.
Come on. If God has set me free, he can set you free also. Jesus has come to free all those who are oppressed and captured by the lies of the enemy. The Bible describes a stronghold of the enemy as anything that stands up against the truth of God, that we have an option, whether we're going to submit to the lies of the enemy or by submitting to the truth of God. That's found in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5. I mean, here's a tip. If we want to be people who believe on the truth of who Jesus is, if we want to be people that are set free, I want to encourage you, we have to know the truth.
And so if you haven't already, I want to encourage you to go to the App Store on your phone, and you can look up the Bible app. And whether you have an Android or an Apple device, you can find the Bible app there. It's a free app for you. And in there, you can find reading plans. And so even at the end of the message today, there's going to be an opportunity to fill out a connection card. If you need help getting the Bible app onto your device, please click that box, and we would love to get the Bible app right on your device so that every day you can be in the truth of God's word and allow the truth of God to be what you hold on to, because as Jesus said, the truth will set you free. See, we believe all kinds of lies. The enemy wants us to believe lies about who we are or whose we are. He wants us to believe that it's up to us, and that oftentimes when I find myself in the prison of my lies, I find that the enemy has convinced me that it's up to me, and then I fail myself. Has anybody else been in that same boat? And that's the exact trap the enemy wants to get us in. He wants to isolate us. He wants to isolate us in the lies, and that begins to become our prison that we find ourselves in. However, we were never meant to be alone. We were never meant to do this on our own. We weren't meant to accomplish all these things. Jesus has always been there inviting us to receive from him all of the things that we find ourselves falling short of. Instead, the enemy tries to convince us that we are worthless. Fear overcomes us because he lies to us about the strength of God over the situation that we find ourselves in. I remember my part of the story in our marriage. I felt hopeless and completely out of control. Our marriage was crazy. As Rachel described it in the video before, she found herself in the depths of depression. And as a good husband, I really wanted to help her out. I wanted to bring her joy. I remember trying to get puppies for her. I remember, you know, trying to do all the housework I could. I remember trying to accomplish all these things, to do every house project that I could do, just so I could try to bring some joy to my life. I felt miserable as a public figure at that time. We were both in ministry, and you know, I wanted to uphold a little bit of, you know, public opinion of me, and so we would be in church gatherings on Sunday mornings. And in the midst of the strongest part of Rachel's anxiety and depression, I mean, being in a crowd on a Sunday morning was one of the worst experiences she could ever have. And I remember there was times where over and over again she would ask, Andrew, can I go home? I just can't take it. There's too many people. I feel claustrophobic. Her anxiety was high, and you know, I wanted to maintain control. I wanted to be the man. I knew that she needs to be in the house of God, and so I would tell her no over and over again. No, you need to stay here. This is where you need to be. And I remember the one moment that God began to challenge the lies that I believe, that I have to maintain order, that I have to bring Rachel joy, that I'm the one that is going to be able to solve the problems of our marriage. And it was a Sunday morning. Rachel asked me again, Andrew, can I go home? And I was just about ready to repeat the lines that I always said to her. No, the best place for you to be is right here in the church service with everybody else around you, because where else are you going to hear the truth? And I remember thinking, you know, if she goes home, she's going to just get into the depression. It's just going to be dark in the house. It's going to be terrible for her. And at that very moment, the Holy Spirit asked me, and he said, Andrew, do you trust me? And let me tell you, that was the hardest thing for me here, because I said, yes, Holy Spirit, I mean, I trust you. I could do a sermon series on trusting God. You know, I could look at the top 10 verses and share with you, Holy Spirit, you know, why I can trust you, God, that you never fail. And I knew all these things. And again, God asked me, Andrew, do you trust me? And it was at that moment that I realized that I knew I could trust God. There was all of these experiences that I had that I could remember that is good to trust God. But I had never believed the truth that I could trust him. And it wasn't until I released my control of our situation over to God that we begin to walk in freedom. See, Romans 1:16, it says this. It says that I am not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God for salvation. You could replace that word with freedom. You can replace that word for restoration. It is the power of God for healing for all those who believe. It became a common question for Rachel and I to ask ourselves, and even this day, we still ask often, what are you believing? I think it's a question that the Holy Spirit would want me to ask this morning. What are you believing? See, Jesus didn't just die to give us a future secured in heaven, but he came that right now we could live a life to the fullest, full of joy, full of peace, free from the traps of the enemy, free from the oppression of the enemy, free from the lies of the enemy right now. And if you are struggling with feelings of loneliness, I invite you to believe that Jesus is always with you. He is one that sticks closer than a brother. He will never leave you. He'll never forget about you. Wherever you go, wherever you find yourself, whatever problem you have, Jesus is with you. What are you believing? And if you're struggling with a sense of self-worth and the enemy has convinced you, maybe like my wife, where she couldn't have kids, and the enemy tried to convince her that her worth was wrapped up in having kids for her husband. Maybe there's other things, maybe words that people have spoken over you as a kid or as a teenager or while you're a young adult, and you have begun to believe those things about you. I want to invite you this morning to believe that you are so valuable that God sent his son for you to take your place. He loved you so much that he was willing that Jesus would come and die on the cross so that you can be forgiven, so that you can have a place in eternity with him. If you're struggling this morning with fear of the future and not knowing what tomorrow will bring, I invite you to believe in the power of God. That while the story of Jesus looked like it had come to an end, it looked like a hopeless situation. Jesus, dead in the grave, the Messiah, the one that had come to save the world, was dead. In that very moment, God demonstrated his great and awesome power by raising Jesus from the dead. I encourage you, have faith in the truth of whose you are. God speaks a better word over you, over your life, and over your family. Believe in his truth, and you will be set free. This morning, I want to close. And first and foremost, I believe in the power of prayer, that when we pray and we call on the name of Jesus, he answers us. And I believe that this morning as we join in prayer, that if you call out on the name of Jesus, you will be set free. Even now, Jesus can rescue you and can take away your prison and can set you free and on a path of life. But secondly, I want to encourage you this morning, or whenever you are watching, if you are struggling with something that is a weight, a burden, if you feel trapped in depression, if you're dealing with mental illnesses, we want to walk with you. What was true about each story that was shared today was there was somebody, there was individuals, whether it was counseling, whether it was a pastor, whether it was praying individuals, that walked the path with each story towards freedom. We want to be a church that walks with you towards your freedom. And if there's an issue that we can't handle, I remember in the middle of my crazy period of our marriage, I had a pastor that I could talk to, and I told them what was going on, and sometimes she would reply to me, "Andrew, I don't know the answer, but you know what? I'm going to help you find the answer." And Focus Church, we're going to make that same commitment. And we may not have all the answers, but you know what? We're going to help you find the answer, because we know, we are convinced that Jesus came that you may have freedom. So let's take a moment together, church, and let's pray. And I believe as we pray, acknowledge this morning to God, "God, bring me freedom." Acknowledge this morning the trap that you find yourself in. Acknowledge this morning the lie that you find yourself believing. And I believe as we pray, you will receive freedom. So let's pray together. Father, I am so grateful that you sent your son, Jesus, with a mission, with a purpose, to set the captive free. And so, Father, I know that you know our hearts. God, you know our minds better than any other person. And, Father, those that are hearing my voice this morning, and they're struggling. They find themselves trapped. The enemy has convinced them of a lie. God, I pray in the name of Jesus that truth would set them free, that they would believe on you, and that today would be the day of their freedom. Father, help all of us to take these steps towards you, to confess our sins, to confess the ways that we find ourselves trapped with others, so that we may help each other walk out this path. Jesus, I'm so thankful that you came to bring freedom. I pray that you would set the captive free. In the name of Jesus, amen. You know, at the beginning of our message, I shared that we would have an opportunity to receive hope that is found in Jesus. As I mentioned, we were not meant to live a life on our own. Jesus came to show us how to live life to the fullest. If you came today searching for hope, for purpose, for peace in your life, for focus, I want to let you know that in Jesus, you can find these things. The scriptures reveal that anyone who calls on the name of Jesus will be saved. The act of calling out, it's an act of admitting that we can't do it on our own and that we need Jesus. And this morning, if you haven't taken the opportunity to call on the name of Jesus, to admit that you can't do it on your own, that you need Jesus, we want to pray together at this moment. See, at Focus Church, nobody prays alone. And so right now, I want to invite you to pray with me. And we're going to pray a prayer. It's a simple prayer, and it's really not about the words that we pray. It's really about our hearts crying out to God and crying out to Jesus in the moment and saying we need him. But we're going to pray a prayer, and these are the three points that we're going to make the prayer. We're going to ask for forgiveness for all of our wrongdoings, for all the lies that we believed. We're going to commit together. We're going to commit to living for Jesus, to making him the main character of our life, to submitting to anything that he would ask of us. And third, we're going to ask for help. Because what I've realized is whenever I try to live my life on my own or in my own way, I fail. I mess up. But this morning, we're going to ask for help on our journey to live this out. So will you pray with me? I'm going to pray, and as I pray, I just want to pause and give you an opportunity to repeat after me. So focus, church. Let's pray together. Dear God, I ask that you would forgive me for all of my wrongdoings. I commit right now to following you, Jesus. I ask that you would help me on this journey. In the name of Jesus.